Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Let me ask you a few phrases. Maybe you've heard some of these before. A person's word, you know, certain people, their word is as good as gold. Anybody ever heard that?
Yes.
How about a man's word is his bond? Anybody ever hear that?
Yes.
Someone is only as good as their word.
Yeah.
All of these phrases, all of these collection of words carry a meaning though, right? What all these sentences are really trying to convey is the idea that words not only carry meaning, but they also serve as a way to live. That's what all those sentences kind of have in common. Words are powerful, aren't they?
Yeah.
Would anyone here disagree with the statement, words are powerful?
Yeah.
In fact, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the spoken word, your tongue, carries the implications of life and death. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Life and death?
Yeah.
But here's the problem with our words. Our words can be powerful one minute and weak the next. Our words can promise to do one thing and then do another.
Yeah.
Our words, as we see in James chapter 3, can praise God in one breath and curse somebody in the next.
Yeah.
So listen, today, I actually don't want to keep talking about our words. No. I want to spend a few minutes talking to you and bringing you the words of Jesus. The words of God. Because those words, my friends, never change. The words of Jesus are better than gold. The words of Jesus are his bond. The words of Jesus are words that you can trust and that you can learn to live by. The words of God, the words of Jesus, carry with them power, instruction, and light. And what we're on, hear me now, we're on a journey this year, here in 2025. God planted this in our hearts to learn how to live a sacrificial life. Romans 12:1, give your whole life as a living sacrifice because that is a great form of worship to God, is what the next verse goes on to say. One of the most powerful ways we worship God is by giving him all of our life and sacrificing everything that we are for his kingdom and for his glory. And as part of that, we've been focusing on what it looks like to become a fully committed follower of Jesus. It's all tied together. Now, as PK taught us last week, my beautiful bride, that means we need to learn to be more like Jesus and also to do more like Jesus, right? Jesus is the model for everything, right? Well, if Jesus is the model, then it makes sense that we ought to maybe study a bit some of his habits. In other words, what are some things that Jesus is committed to? Because we ought to be committed to those things, right? If Jesus is committed to them, part of the way we follow him is we become committed to those things. And last week, Pastor Karen did a phenomenal job. How many people were here? If you're not, check out the podcast. About how Jesus was committed to prayer. That's the first thing we talked about last week. Jesus was committed to prayer. And she showed us how when we commit to prayer, our lives will never be the same. And it's powerful. It's powerful. Prayer was powerful for Jesus, and it's powerful for us. It's powerful for us. Today, I want to bring you another thing that we see that Jesus was and is committed to. I want to explore this idea of Jesus being committed to his word. I wonder if you ever thought about that. Jesus committed to his word, and how as you learn to commit, and I learn to commit to his word, that our lives will be changed and transformed, not just in this life, but forever. But forever. And to show you what I'm talking about, I want to go to a passage of scripture in the book of John. In fact, it's how John begins his writing. And if you'll turn with me, we're going to John chapter 1. So come on, everybody, got your paper Bibles? Come on, Pastor Karen. Pastor, you can go around and check, baby, make sure. No. Now, hey, listen, bring your Bibles to church. Just in case, though, we are going to have it on the screen. But we want you to bring your Bibles. Now, John, we're going to be in John chapter 1. In fact, it's the very first five verses of John chapter 1. Everybody there? Are we good? Just say amen if you're there. Amen. All right. This is what it says. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. These powerful verses show us a bit about who Jesus is. And they teach us, in these little five verses, they teach us four important truths about Jesus and his word that I want to bring you today. Let's get right to it. The first one is this. Jesus is his word. Now, you need to get this. Take a minute and think about this. It's not Jesus and his word. It's Jesus as the Word. Do you, you need to get that right off the... So when you're reading, and we're going to talk about this in a second. When you're reading in Genesis, it's actually Jesus talking. It's not just some words on a page. You got to get... It's the same Jesus who died on a cross who's in Genesis. Ooh, that's what the Word says. Jesus was in the beginning with God. And as Pastor Karen reminded us last week, Jesus is God. And John is reminding us again of that right here. Jesus was there in Genesis as God, with words, spoke this place into existence. Oh my gosh, we were watching Apollo 13 last night, some live thing, documentary, and there's pictures of the earth and the stars. I almost started crying right there on the couch. I'm just going to be, when you think about it, the Word created that. God's Word created every star in the heavens, every piece of sand on the seashore. Yes. Wow. Man, all of it. Jesus was present as words were given to all of the people and the prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus was present and participating when Noah was told to build the ark. Jesus was participating when Moses was given those Ten Commandments on a mountain. Jesus was there when Isaiah called down fire from heaven. You see, in fact, in every part of God's word, this is God's word. Yes. And in every part of this word, all 66 books, you are going to find Jesus.
Yes.
You are going to find Jesus in every part of the book because he is the word.
Yes.
And you see, that's why Jesus is so committed to his word, because it's his word. It's who he is. It's not something he just says. No, there's no separation between Jesus and his word. That's why he is so committed to it. Jesus was then, is still now, and will always be committed to his word, because they cannot be separated. Jesus, as God with God, spoke to those in the Old Testament. And then he came to earth to fulfill everything that he spoke to them. That was his mission here, was actually to come and, I'm going to keep my promise. That's what the Bible's all about. It's about Jesus is coming, Jesus comes, Jesus did what he said he would do. And then Jesus is forever now in heaven praying for you and I as his word continues. Yes, as his word continues to be fulfilled. Hey, listen, think about this. How great is it here on earth when somebody keeps their word, when someone actually does what they promise you they're going to do? That's a great feeling, right? Anybody? That's awesome. Hey, so-and-so said they were going to do this. Wait, they actually did it. What? That's an awesome feeling. I mean, that's so good. And what happens? When that happens, that kind of builds trust, right? You trust that person more, or that, but Here's the thing. You know there's still a possibility that the next time they may not keep their word.
Yeah.
Mm, right? I mean, it's great when it happens. But because we're humans, we're flawed, there's still that possibility that, okay, but maybe they won't keep their word in the future. Aren't you glad Jesus is not like that? See, I want you to take this concept of someone fulfilling their word, doing what they said they were going to do, and multiply it a million times when it comes to Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus is faithful. He is always going to keep his promises. And I do mean always. All right, let me draw your attention now to the second truth that we find in this passage of John. The word is foundational. Say that now with me. The word is foundational. The scripture tells us that all things, it didn't say some, oh, come on now, it didn't say some things were created. It says all things were created. There's another scripture that says actually, and all things are held together by Jesus. You see, the word, both the word and the word on pages, they're all one, is the basis on which everything has been built. Everything. The earth only spins on its axis because the word created it to do that.
Yeah.
Jesus was there when he created the birds to fly. And you can count on the fact that he was there when you were knit in your mother's womb.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And if the eagle depends upon the word for his life and his purpose, then how much more are you called? You who are made in the very image of God, called to be dependent upon him and his word. The word should be the basis for all our lives. I would say the word must be the basis for our lives if we are to live the life that we've been created to live. We must build our life on God's word if we are to experience all that God has for us. Look at what it says in Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of God proves what? Proves what? Okay. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Catch this now. It's important. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. What is this scripture saying? It says, look, God's word is sufficient. We just sang a song, all I need is Jesus. Well, Jesus' word is actually all you really need. God doesn't need any help with his word. He doesn't need any modifications. He doesn't need a book editor going through, oh, I don't like that part, let me change that. No, God's word is completely sufficient. The way it was written, because he did it on purpose. Because he did it on purpose. Here's the thing, though. We're in danger of adding to the words when we choose to live our lives by any other words other than the words of Jesus. We're in danger of adding words. In fact, Pastor Karen, just this week, was reading me some passages from a book that actually our daughter sent her, which is great. And the main purpose of this book is to point out how the world has given new words about how to handle the things of life. That's what it is. They're new words. And the new words are basically trying to be, in some cases, a substitute for what God says about the very same things. Okay? Listen, the world's words can sound really good. They can sound really good, right? Here's the problem with the world's words. At worst, they are false. At worst, they are false. And at very best, they're insufficient. See what I'm saying? The world's words, at the worst, are just flat-out lies. They're just flat-out wrong. But even if they're trying to help God, the words are still insufficient. You see, they sound good on the surface, but they're not foundational. They sound good on the surface, but they're not foundational. No, the world's words are always situational. got to get that. The world's words are always situational, not foundational. You can't build your life on the world's words. You can build your life on God's word. Mm-mm-mm. Proverbs 14:12 puts it so succinctly in one sentence. This is what it says. It's not on your screen. Just listen up. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. That one sentence describes everything I just said. That's why God's such a better author, writer than I am. That one sentence described everything that I took 5 minutes to say. Because God's so good. His word's good. You know, let me put it this way. It's kind of like the difference between aspirin and arsenic. You see, the right amount of aspirin can actually keep your heart healthy by keeping the blood flowing better in your arteries. Arsenic, though, is what? It's a poison. And in the end, you actually do yourself harm. Imagine, even if you unknowingly put one drop of arsenic in your morning coffee, what would happen? It might not kill you at first. In fact, you might not even taste it in the coffee, but it's still there. And over time, that poison will eventually kill you. The aspirin, my friends, is like the word of God. And then arsenic is like the words of the world. That's why it says don't add to God's word. He don't need no help. Look, hear me on this now. God created us with wonderful creative minds. I am not sitting here telling you that every word of the world is evil. Okay? I'm not saying that. But look, there is no other words other than the words of Jesus that you can count on at the end of the day. At the end of the day. The words of God, the words of Jesus are the only thing that you can actually build your life on. They're a firm foundation that has stood and will stand the test of time, the test of circumstance, the test of situation. Only God's word, only the words of Jesus will do that. Only the words of Jesus. The word who spoke to Adam in the garden and Moses in the desert is the same word who is calling you now through his word. Same God. We sing a song here called Same God. Beautiful, beautiful song. That's the point of that song. It's the same God. All right, listen up. Here's the next truth from the text today. And it's this: the word brings life. The word brings life. Read with me now in Proverbs, again, chapter 4, 20 through 22. Everybody get there. It says, my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of what? Your heart. For they are what?
Life
to those who find them. And then look at that next part. Healing and health to all of your flesh. Wow. Whew. And then in 2 Corinthians, you may have heard this before. There's a scripture. It says you are a new creation in Christ. You listen now. Our birth in a hospital was simply our entrance into this world. The word brings new life. Brings new life. That's why Jesus once said to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Just coming into the earth with our mom, we praise him, we thank you. But that's not the real life Jesus wants to give you. It's only the beginning. He wants to give you a new life, not just here on earth, but a new life that lasts for eternity. That's the life that Jesus brings. See, Jesus has words of living life. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, well, first of all, I don't want to miss this because this is so. Jesus once told a woman at a well, I've got life that's never going to run out. Yeah. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, it describes Jesus, the word, as living and active. You see, Jesus brought life to the earth with his words in the beginning, and the word is still bringing life today. Yeah. Come on. Can we thank Jesus for that? You're still bringing life, Lord. His words can bring new and living hope when we get discouraged. In his words, we can find a new life in a dead relationship. And as John says, with the life that Jesus brought, it also says he brought the light. So beautiful. The light shows us the way. The light shows us truth. The light overcomes darkness. And it's that last promise that actually reveals the final truth that I want to bring you today from this scripture. It's this: the word is a weapon. Hear me. The word is a weapon. You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, you find something described as the armor of God. Anybody know anything about Ephesians chapter 6? If not, go home and read it today. Come on. In there, there's all kinds of defense mechanisms, so to speak, that God, that Paul points out that God's given us to battle the enemy, right? And out of all those things, there's only one, though, that is a weapon. Only one. Everything else is defensive. But there's one weapon. It's found in verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yeah. Now, let me take you back to that passage in Hebrews 4:12. We already said the word is active and living, but it goes on to say this, that the word Jesus and his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and the discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That word sword is mentioned twice. A sword, my friends, is a weapon. A sword is a weapon. But Brandon, if you'll come. But what kind of weapon is it? What kind of weapon is it? The word is a weapon much like a Swiss Army knife. It has multiple functions and uses. Anybody ever have a Swiss Army knife? It's got like a spoon on it, a blade on it, a fork on it. I mean, you know, there's so many things you can do with that knife, and there's so many intended purposes of the word as a weapon. In John's text, we see that the weapon is used to drive out darkness, right? It's a powerful weapon. Anybody need that weapon in times of darkness in your life? You're battling depression, you're battling whatever, and it just, there's a darkness that comes. God's word is a weapon against that. Use it. Jesus died to give you that weapon. Jesus is that weapon himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 6, we see the weapon used much like Jesus did in the desert when confronted with the lies of the enemy. You see, the enemy tried three times to get Jesus to do something. And each time he defeated him with the power of his what? His word. Jesus three times said, the word says. Why don't you just get a visual of this? Because when Jesus was saying that, what he was really saying was, I said this a long time ago, and I'm just reminding of you, evil. That's really what that's what was going on there. Jesus was saying, yeah, you know what? I gave this word a long time ago, and Satan, you got tossed out of heaven. Let me just remind you of the word. There's power. There's power in the word of God. God just dropped that on me right now. Nowhere in my message. How has the devil been lying to you? Is he telling you that you are not good enough? Well, God's word says in Romans 8:37 that you are more than a conqueror. That's what God's word says about you. Has the enemy been trying to convince you that you are too far gone? It's too late. It's not true. It's a lie. You know how I know that? Because in Romans 8:1, God's word reminds us that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And finally, in that passage from Hebrews, we see the word, the weapon, used more like a scalpel to cut away things in our heart that are getting in the way, because God wants to have us whole and healed. Next time you read Hebrews 4:12, I want you to think of a scalpel. Not so much a sword, it's a scalpel. It's a fine instrument. My bride used to work for a world famous heart surgeon. They would take a scalpel to cut things out. That's what the word's like in Hebrews 4. It's like a scalpel cutting those things away. What a weapon. What a weapon that we have in God's word. A weapon that can drive out darkness. A weapon that can confront the lies of the enemy. And a weapon that can actually confront our own lies. Things in our own heart that need to be cut out by the master surgeon. And man, Jesus is going in there to heal you, not to hurt you. So to when he starts cutting on you, when he starts getting inside and said, hey, pastor or whoever, you got an issue there. Need to cut that out. Hear me. Don't try and cut it out by yourself. Don't try and cut it out. Don't try and do surgery on yourself. We have too many people in this world trying to do surgery on themselves. They're reading the latest fad book. They're searching in every other place except for the Word of God. God's Word is the only one you can trust. Yes, it's the only word you can count on. Don't do surgery on yourself. Let the master do the cutting. He's the master physician, the great healer. He wants to heal you. I want to close by asking you a question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Because if you do, I want to close with these words from Jesus, found in John chapter 14. If you have that, you can turn to it. We're going to be reading just three short verses. John chapter 14, verses beginning in verse 12. And we'll go through verse 15. It says this, truly, truly. You know, when anywhere you see in the Bible and you see Jesus start with the words truly, truly, that means you need to pay attention. Extra, extra attention. I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And then he closes with this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you love Jesus? The greatest expression of that love is by doing what he calls you to do. The greatest way you can, Jesus ain't after proof, but I'm going to just say it. The greatest way you can prove you love Jesus is by doing everything you can to follow his word. That is the greatest form. Parents, how many parents I got in here? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it beautiful when your children actually do what you ask them to do? I'm speaking now, parents. I'm not sure there's too much more as a parent that you actually appreciate more. To be honest with you, that the kiddo cleans the room on the first time. That they get up after the second nudge instead of the 15th. Or that they mow the grass. Or they, whatever, parents. When we show our love for Jesus by doing what he asks us to do, I want you to magnify that a billion times. To what that means to our Father and to our Lord. I ask you if you love Jesus. I also ask you, do you believe the words of Jesus? Because I heard this recently from, I'll give credit where credit's due. Pastor Rick Warren said this and hit me and I really believe it. You and I only do what we believe in. Do you understand? You and I actually, we can talk about what we believe, but at the end of the day, we only do what we believe in. I go to work because I believe I'm going to get a paycheck. I eat food because I believe it's going to provide nourishment for my body or because it tastes good. There's always a belief behind everything that you do. So I'm challenging you today. You say you believe in Jesus. You say you love Jesus. This is not condemnation. No, this is come on. This is the Savior of the world. This is the God who created all of the stars in the heaven and the sand on the shore. And he created you in his image. Do you love Jesus? Jesus doesn't ask for perfection. My bride tells me all the time. He's just looking for us to be perfectly willing. That's all Jesus has ever asked of you. And all he will ever ask of you. Just be perfectly. His perfection took care of our mess ups, okay? But he is looking for your heart. He does want your heart. That's the perfectly willing part of this. Would you just, right now, let's go before the Lord. Would you just join me in prayer? God, Father, we love you. And we're so thankful and grateful for you. And that the Word, our Savior, was with you in the beginning when all things were created. And Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, the Word that became flesh, so that we could have a new life. And Jesus, thank you for your Word, because it's a foundation upon which we can build our lives. Thank you for your Word, because it brings us life. And thank you for the powerful weapon that your Word is that addresses our enemy and the situations of life that we can count on. And thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for being committed to your Word. Because you are your Word. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us now to commit our lives to you by living out the words that you have given us to live by. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we believe it. Amen. Now listen, with every eye still closed, every head still bowed, I sense in my spirit there's some people here today that have never encountered the living Word, Jesus Christ, for yourself. Or maybe it's been a while since you've encountered the Word and the power of the Word in your life. So listen, right now, if you're ready to give your life to Him and to follow Him and to commit to Him, I want to invite you to just, there's no magic in these words. It's just mean it with all of your heart. And for anyone that's doing that for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, can we all just say these words together as we recommit or maybe even commit our lives for the first time to the Word? Lord Jesus, I love you. Come now and wash me clean. I repent of my sins. I believe that you gave your life for me. And today, I give you mine. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate that?